Z-Trim Appetite Control is perfect for taking the edge off hunger.
I lost 6 pounds the first week and never felt hungry.
I lost a full pant size.
I've lost 15 pounds in 2 months without dieting.
Without dieting.
You're hearing the success stories of people who have discovered Z-Trim Appetite Control. Developed by the USDA, all-natural Z-Trim helps you feel satisfied before you eat more than you should.
I can breeze through work without distracting hunger pains.
I don't have to exercise, and I still eat the foods that I love.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is a healthy way to help manage your weight regardless of diet or exercise.
I simply take 2 capsules before each meal.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is fantastic.
For people who need to manage their weight with limited physical activity, Z-Trim provides a naturally healthy option.
To order Z-Trim Appetite Control capsules made with USDA-developed Z-Trim, go to ztrim.com. That's ztrim.com. And enter the code word NATURAL for a 10% listener discount. Or call 1-877-MY-Z-TRIM. The only thing you have to lose is weight.
The stakes are too high, and the consequences too grave to turn Iraq over to extremists who want to do the American people and the Iraqi people harm.
Well, it doesn't matter that we cut off the M of harm. What he said is just nonsense, utter nonsense. Yeah, he had a press conference today. Bush stood in front of a group of... They look like wax figures, somber-looking Pentagon officials. A couple of times I had to take a second and third look. Are those human beings behind him, or are they some sort of android-like dummy? But there they all stood, Bush spouting a bunch of empty Rovian rhetoric about success in Iraq and deliberating the way forward to achieve the mission and not losing our nerve until the job of success is done. The job of success is done. Something like that. We'll have the moron sounds for you in just a moment. It's getting bizarrer and bizarrer. I don't know. Is it maybe it's because we're getting close to Christmas? I don't know. These daily appearances by Bush and what he's talking about, the Iraq thing is just, it's enough to make you mad, you know, insane like he is. We, very quickly, I guess I'll bring this up on Monday, but we were informed today, I think it was today, no, I guess yesterday, starting Monday, we'll be on KPTK in Seattle. We also will be on Sirius Satellite Radio. Sirius will take us live. KPTK in Seattle will be delayed. We'll be on 11 p.m. in that market. I think Miami comes online, on the air on the 18th. And now that we are uplinked to the satellite necessary for these radio stations to pull the signal, pull the program down, I think it's going to grow the program. The exposure is going to grow by leaps and bounds, and we'll very soon be back to where we were with Air America. That certainly is the hope. So it was especially good news to find out about Sirius. And each and every radio station, of course, is key to the success of Nova M and this program. But Sirius, for those of you who have Sirius, that means no matter where you go, you can tune in the program. That's kind of cool. A couple of emails real quick. This is from JC in New York. Mike, Iraq is pronounced Iraq, and Iran is pronounced Iran. After all these years, people should at least know this. Thanks, Jan in New York City. P.S. Sorry, but this is really starting to drive me crazy. Iraq and Iran. Okay, Iraq, Iraq, Iran. You're supposed to say E? Okay.
Don't you watch those promos for CNN with Christiane Amanpour standing there saying, it's not Iran, it's not Iran to the store. Iran.
I must have missed that. This came from my way. Someone sent this to me about the possible stroke that Democratic Senator Tim Johnson of South Dakota suffered this afternoon or earlier today, midday, taken to a Washington hospital. Latest reports, I guess they're still evaluating him. I'm not sure. But even though everyone says, well, obviously the first concern is his health, there's also the fact that if Tim Johnson, Tim Johnson, that also happens to be the name of the medical advisor on ABC television network. If Tim Johnson, for any reason, can't fulfill or complete his term, then the Republican governor of South Carolina, or South Dakota, has the opportunity of appointing a Republican. I hope that doesn't happen. I don't think the people of South Dakota would allow that to happen, but you never know. But I got this from my way. Regarding the Democrat who had the stroke, all that is needed is the cigarette man from X-Files. Or maybe we already have him in Dick Darth Vader Cheney. I smell skullduggery. I don't believe for 1 minute this was coincidental. All I wonder is, where is the nondescript white panel work van parked across the street from his residence? You know, the one that beamed the microwaves into his bedroom last night. Yeah, it's harder and harder and harder not to believe this. I mean, people who criticize the Soviet or the Russian government are radioactively murdered. And, you know, I've gotten several emails from people, a couple of whom live in Russia, American expats, who say, be careful, Mike, don't blame Putin. There are other forces at work over here. Maybe so, but I don't mean maybe so. I'm not going to be that kind of patronizing. I'm sure those people understand to a far greater degree than I ever will about the intrigues of the Russian government. But I'll stick with the Putin thing until otherwise. It's just a guess on my part. I'm not saying Putin did it. I guess I did say that on this program, and I'll continue to say it. But I'm kind of a half-wit anyway. Most of the things I say are eminently forgettable. The White House issued a statement wishing Senator Tim Johnson a speedy recovery. You know that was sincere, right? Huh? You know that was sincere. Our thoughts and prayers are with Senator Johnson and his family, said White House spokesman Alex Conant. Okay. All right. Speaking of Democratic U.S. senators, Bill Nelson, the senator against whom this psychopathic Catherine Harris ran kind of a half-witted campaign, you know, she of the Secretary of State's office back in 2000. Senator Bill Nelson, in a direct slam against this corrupt Bush crime family, spent an hour today with Syrian President Bashar Assad in Damascus asking him to do more to stabilize Iraq. Nelson is a member of the Armed Services and Foreign Relations Committees. He met with the Syrian president after the State Department said that it disapproved of his trip. Oh. Nelson said he was on a fact-finding mission to the region, and after meeting with Assad, he went to Jordan to meet with the Hashemite king in that country. The Saudis, are you aware of what's going on with the Saudis? The Saudis are saying if the United States pulls out, they're going to invade Iraq and side with the Sunnis, the Sunni insurgents. So those are the ones that we say are causing all the trouble. That's where the break is between the Sunnis. The Saudis, even though they are we had this discussion the other night. They are a branch of the Sunni break in Islam. The Hashemite kingdom in Jordan is also Sunni. The Kuwaitis are Sunni. And what the fear is now is that a Shia alliance between Iran and Iraq will, one of their first moves will be against Saudi Arabia to take the oil. So George Bush has literally created the potential here for just unthinkable, unspeakable catastrophes that are building in the Middle East. And they are. Hopefully cooler heads will prevail. It would be great to see some resolution this before it gets to a critical mass But Condoleezza Rice and Rumsfeld and the rest of these useless, murderous members of the Bush crime family are doing nothing, absolutely nothing. They're just standing back. I guess they would like to see the Middle East go up in flames because in their way of thinking, according to some of them who are supported by the fundamentalist religious Christians in this country, that will please Jesus, and he will be so thrilled at the blood and destruction that he will rapture these half-wits off the planet or make a second appearance or a first appearance or whatever. It's just bizarre. I don't know. It's like it's bizarre world to the fourth power, isn't it? And JT wanted to know if I saw Wolf Blitzer get verbally knocked on his ass today by David Duke. Duke was in Tehran at this, quote, conference, end quote, about whether or not the Holocaust really occurred. You know, I wish these people would let that alone. I really do. It is a matter of historic fact. These are Jew haters of the sort that sometimes I get accused of being an anti-Semite, but I'm never accused of being a Jew hater, which is what David Duke and the rest of these people are. Ahmadinejad is another psychopath. He works fits right in real well with Bush and Putin and the rest of these monsters. But this so-called conference is going on in Tehran, Iran, about whether or not the Holocaust really appeared. And sure enough, this half-man, half-iguana from Louisiana, David Duke, shows up over there. More on that in a second. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
In this world, the United States must maintain every advantage and weaponry.
Oh my God. All right, Peggy emails me that George Washington University Hospital has now ruled out a stroke or a heart attack where it concerns Senator Tim Johnson. Media reported today there were stroke-like symptoms, I have no idea what it could be. Do you, just guessing, Kathy. I'm not asking you to do a Bill Frist here, but you've had some medical background. Do you have any idea what it might be?
God, no. I can't. No, I wouldn't even attempt it.
Yeah, you can't do what.
I mean, he could have low blood sugar. I mean, he was I don't know what it means to be disoriented on the phone with his staffers. Maybe he had a martini at lunch. I have no idea.
Okay. So anyway, Jeff wants to know, did you see Wolf Blitzer and CNN get verbally knocked on their asses today by David Duke? I wouldn't follow Duke to his own crucifixion, but truth is truth, and he was on point and zeroed in. It's a good view or read if you didn't already see it. Don't know about you guys, but more and more each day I feel like I'm back in kindergarten with an adult mind. The bullies are rampant, and our mentors aren't watching unless they want to talk down to us. I watched Duke today. I happen to have CNN on when this half-human, half-troglodyte appeared on CNF, on Wolf Blitzer's room. And sure, from a standpoint of gutting Wolf Blitzer, yeah, he did a good job. I have grandchildren who could gut Wolf Blitzer. I mean, that's not really a big deal. The things that Duke was saying were pretty astonishing. I'm surprised that CNN let him go on talking about the Jewish conspiracy and in media and so on and so forth. Now, don't send me emails telling me there really is a Jewish conspiracy in media. I don't think there's any conspiracy anywhere regarding a pro-Israel stance or a Jewish stance in this country. There's a lot of self-interest, and the people involved work their asses off to get their self-interest, their point across. If the people in our government allow themselves to be unduly influenced by a certain group, whether they be Jewish or Irish Catholics or I don't know, wood eaters. I have no idea if what the group would be. But if our leaders are unduly influenced, and we've talked about this before, the two ideas that do give the Israeli lobby, if you want to call it that in this country, a lot of ears in Washington, not the least of which is this psychopathic fundamentalist Christianity, which just absolutely folds right into this what is perceived to be an appeasement of Israel every time there is some kind of a disagreement in the Middle East. But having said that, I also think that David Duke is the lowest of the low. I don't like people like Duke. In fact, they turn my stomach. They absolutely turn my stomach. I can't, in the first place, I don't know why CNN would put this half-witted Klansman on anyway. What the hell is the point in putting David Duke on? CNN probably would have interviewed Hitler as he was ordering people to the death camps. CNN is, I don't know. What's the point in giving these people that kind of publicity? A conference in Tehran as to whether or not the Holocaust occurred. My God, no wonder people say, well, you know, I sure do wish that the government of Israel is a little bit fairer in its treatment of the Palestinians. But what the hell are you going to do when you have a conference in Tehran? When you have some freak like Ahmadinejad saying whatever he said. I know there's some debate on what he said. I listened to David Duke try to parse his words. Well, David Duke said he didn't say death to Israel and the United States. He was saying death to Zionism and death will come to America and yada, yada, yada. I'm sick of these people. They just, I swear to God, I'm sick of them. Why not focus all that energy on here comes Malloy, naive question of the night. Why not focus all that energy on finding a lasting peace among all these Semitic people? I'm not saying the Iranians are Semitic. I'm saying the Arabs and the Jews. Why not figure... Oh, never mind. Christ, I get so tired of it. Oh, I get so tired. I was so tired of it the other night. I said we were going to talk about Jimmy Carter on Monday, and then... I had a Mali virus on Monday. We didn't get around to it. I'm going to try to get to it this week. Carter is just being roasted for what he said in his book about apartheid being practiced against the Palestinians. And I don't give a damn what your view is on Israel or the Arabs or the Palestinians or anybody. It is apartheid by definition. Now, if the Israeli government can justify it, that's their business. But if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, dies like a duck, stinks like a duck, has a bill like a duck, has an ass like a duck, it's a duck! That's pretty simple, right? We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NovM.
Friends future, it's Mike Malloy.
I wonder how many people hear that liner you just did, Kathy, and don't know what's meant by that. Oh, well. The effort by American media to focus on something as half-witted and insane as this conference, so-called, in Tehran, about the Holocaust, I think is a clear indication that the media once again are trying their damnedest to stir up another war. You know, this one's gotten down to the point where it's just slaughter of innocent civilians, and I think the television media in this country love a shooting war. You know, where people are shooting back and forth because that makes for great TV pictures showing children with their arms blown off or adults being beheaded. As a result of a car bomb, that's, you can't get that past the supervising editor at CNN or MSNBC or even Fox. So this attitude that when a nutball like David Duke goes to a conference called by a nutball like Ahmadinejad on a topic that is, let's have a conference about the fact that gravity doesn't really exist, and what we're witnessing is just things falling down. But you know, gravity doesn't exist. You know, these conferences on the Holocaust I don't care what my feelings are about religion or super ultra nationalism. The bottom line is there was a horrendous, horrific, murderous, filthy, satanic, demonic event in a Christian nation, in two Christian nations, in the middle of this century. And it was a slaughter, the butchery of 6 million innocent men, women, children, and children. And for people to sit around and discuss this, did it happen, discuss it from that standpoint, to me is a sickness that you can't define. I don't know where you label. How do you label that? You know, what kind of madness is that? What do these people want? I where was Ahmadinejad when the liberation of Dachau or Auschwitz occurred? Where was he? Who would have known? I doubt if he was alive then. But what do these people want? Did they want to have their faces rubbed in the piles, the mass graves, these huge stinking graves full of corpses? I don't get this. I don't. These evil sons of bitches should be criticizing Israel for its policies in the Middle East if they want to criticize Israel. But to attack the corpses of men, women, and children, to say that this didn't occur, and for a half-human like David Duke, this slimy bastard, to be given time on CNN with another half-wit, a Wolf Blitzer, what is that? What sense is that? Who at CNN, what supervising producer made that decision? Oh, let's give David Duke some time. Okay, calm down. All right, I want you to hear Chuckle Nuts today. He met with senior Pentagon officials and took a few questions, right, Kathy? From the Standard Press or from the Pentagon Press? Pentagon Press? Just the White House Press Corps? Oh, really? Because these so we don't know. Well, we just know he took some questions. But these questions are just totally asinine, almost as insane as the answers. But at one point, he called them AP guys, you know. But Bush is crazy. He's a different kind of crazy from David Duke. But he's crazy nonetheless. He's a different kind of. He's more like Ahmadinejad, you know. They belong in a box together. Put those two halfwits together, George Bush and Ahmadinejad, this pretend president of Iran. Ahmadinejad has as much power in Iran as I do. So the last stop on his listening tour of terror ideas for George. Yeah, Bush is on a listening tour. I'm getting lots of ideas. I got good ideas. We have meetings. We have productive meetings. I get opinions and but I'm not going to be rushed. He still has no way forward plan to announce to the American people. It's got to wait after Christmas because, you know, his little mind is working and he's got to figure out what to do because he's such a brilliant man and he doesn't want to rush into and give us something that doesn't make any sense. God forbid George Bush should do that. Oh, please. So he's working diligently. He stays up clear till 10:30 every night. Looking at charts and graphs and ideas and bombing plans and military options and non-military options and diplomacy. And he's studying the history of Iran and Iraq and Syria and Jordan and Israel and Palestine. He's studying all the history. He's going back to some of the accounts of the emperors of Persia and the Crusaders and all this stuff. He's working out something just wondrous and that would just clearly indicate the vast workings of his great mind, this decider. But in the meantime, after 3.5 years, He's still stuck on soundbite mode. He still can't stop spouting rhetoric and see the reality. George, you took us into something that was doomed from the moment God told you to do it. Because you and your God are halfwits. You're a couple of morons bouncing around inside a video game. And it's over. It's just how many more Americans and Iraqis are going to die, you freak. I don't hear anything new in this newspeak about Iraq here. Just the same old tire catchphrases about our interest to succeed and fruitful discussions. Move along. Nothing to see here.
Just concluded a very productive meeting with the Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Pete Pace, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Vice President. I thank these men who wear a uniform for a very candid and fruitful discussion about how to secure this country.
What?
And how to win a war that that we now find ourselves in.
Ding dong.
We spent a lot of time talking about a new way forward in Iraq.
Ding dong.
To help the Iraqi government
boo-boo.
Confront and defeat the enemies of a free Iraq.
Oh.
We all agree it's in our nation's interest that we help this government succeed.
Oh.
It's in our interest that we help this government succeed.
Say it again, moron. Can you say it three times? It's in the interest that we send more young Americans to kill and be killed. It's in our interests. It's in our interests. Now, in this next one, if you listen to about the second sentence, it sounds like a song title. But here it is, more useless rhetoric from the chimp in chief, this time aimed at the troops. Bush doesn't seem to get it. The troops, one can safely assume, don't want more empty sound clips. They want to stop being blown to bits and come home from this ridiculous, pointless bloodfest. It is clear now that what American troops are doing in Iraq is trying to stay alive. There is no objective. There is no goal. The mission to our soldiers is to stay alive, to get home to see their children and their spouses and their parents again. That's the mission. How many times can the freak here say strategy, deliberation, and succeed in the space of 58 seconds? Can't his zookeepers find him some new talking points or maybe a thesaurus? Now listen, in the second sentence, here comes a song title.
I do want to say something to those who wear our uniform. The men and women in uniform are always on my mind.
Ah!
I am
proud.
Proud of them.
Yeah.
I appreciate their sacrifices.
Oh, that's good.
And I want them to know
uh-huh.
that I am focused on developing a strategy that will help them achieve their mission.
Oh, good.
I'm listening to a lot of advice to develop a strategy
uh-huh.
to help you succeed.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And as I announced yesterday, I will be delivering my plans.
My plan.
A long deliberation.
Uh-huh.
After steady deliberation.
Yes.
I'm not going to be rushed into making a difficult decision.
Oh, good.
A necessary decision to say to our troops, we're going to give you the tools necessary to succeed and a strategy to help you succeed.
This is astonishing. This lying half-wit has been saying this for how many years now? Longer than we were involved in World War II. Soldiers are dying. 3,000. They're still waiting for the tools necessary to succeed and a strategy. I'll tell you what it is. I'm a high school graduate. I can figure this out. It's bring the troops home. Get the hell out of there. Mr. Bush, you murderous half-wit, you committed an atrocious act, and America's families are paying for it with the deaths of their family members. Oh, you miserable bastard. But, oh, no, you're not going to be rushed. No, you're not going to be rushed to make a decision. No, not you. No, not you.
Maybe I didn't hold you all those lonely, lonely. lonely time. I guess I never told you I'm so happy that you're mine. Little things I should have said and done, I just never took.
Liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. Back to Chuckle Nuts here. I'm going to get these in. I want you to hear him, but I want to get him in so we can get some phone calls tonight. Bush answers this question about his way forward, not stay the course, but not cut and run success plan. Way forward, not stay the course, but not cut and run success plan. By using one of Rove's favorite straw man arguments that some people, which is code for those dirty liberals, want to lose in Iraq and don't want the Iraq government to succeed. Yeah, like his plan has worked so well. He doesn't get it. He's insane. His murderous policies have already led to defeat, caused Iraq to become a failed state. He's like some kind of monstrous wind-up monkey that can do anything but can't do anything but spurt sound bites. This reporter says, you've been gathering advice, as you said, from leaders here and from leaders in Iraq as you've gone through that extensive process. Oh, please. Have you heard any new ideas at all? See what I mean about the asinine questions? Just the asinine questions. Have you heard anything, any new ideas at all, Mr. President of the United States of America? Anything that would change your thinking?
I've heard some ideas that would lead to defeat. And I reject those ideas.
Oh, okay, because I'm a
ideas
man.
Ideas such as leaving before the job is done.
Yeah, okay, what job?
Ideas such as not helping this government.
Straw man alert!
Necessary and hard steps to be able to do its job.
Yeah, do its job.
And I repeat, if we lose our nerve, if we're not steadfast in our determination to help the Iraqi government succeed, we will be handing Iraq over to an enemy that would do us harm. The consequences of which, of leaving Iraq before the job is done, for example, would be grave for the American citizens.
How so? Because of the nest of suicide bombers that you gave birth to? Is that what you're talking about? That this destructive potential whirlwind that exists in the Middle East now, thanks to you, that Americans are going to have to deal with when your ass and your entire family's collective asses are dead and gone on to see Jesus? When the next generation, the next generation, the next generation, and the next generation are still dealing with this horror that you've set up? Still rambling on about his forthcoming plan. Sounds like Kissinger. We have a plan for Vietnam. Still rambling on about his forthcoming plan. Now he explains why he's postponed the announcement of his bright and shiny new and improved Iraq plan. See, he doesn't want to compete with all the giftmas hoopla and new products and movies and toys and things that go bump in the day and the night. And he has to wait for his new Secretary of Defense to hear people and make sure he hears from ideas and opinions. I want to hear from ideas and opinions. I heard from some opinions. Something like that. You tell me.
I put off my speech. Actually, I was quite flexible about when I was going to give my speech to begin with.
So there.
But... And one of the main reasons why is I really do want the new Secretary of Defense to have time to get to know people and hear people and be a part of this deliberation. And he will not be sworn in until next Monday.
Oh.
I also, one of the interesting things about this experience is that there's a lot of ideas and a lot of opinions.
Experience?
And I want to make sure I hear from as many of those ideas and opinions as possible. Today I heard from some opinions that matter a lot to me.
Christ, oh my
God. And these are the opinions of those who wear the uniform. These generals have spent a lot of time thinking about this issue.
They're smart.
There's nobody who cares more about our troops than they do.
They're smart.
And nobody who wants us to achieve more than to achieve our objectives than they do.
They're smart.
And it was a fascinating discussion we had.
They're smart.
And they are smart people.
Thank you.
And capable people. And people whose judgment I listen to.
Yeah, Bush listens to the warlords, not the peacemakers. Hell is waiting for you, George. That's for sure. Forget that bipartisan rock study group pointy head. Liberals, give me the generals! One of the main reasons that he decided to put off his flexible speech schedule was because, you know, the new Secretary of Defense has to have time to get to know people and hear people and be part of this deliberation, and he won't be sworn until next Monday. What George doesn't understand is that when George was drinking and doing cocaine and whoring around the state of Alabama, I'm not talking about last month, I'm talking about 25, 30 years ago, Robert Gates was destabilizing governments and setting up death squads and trading TOW missiles for money to bomb Nicaraguans and dealing through Manacher Gorbanifar and Israeli arms merchants and American merchants of death. What do you mean? He needs time to get to know people, George. He already knows them all. He's already destabilized two different areas of the world. But George wants him to get to know people and hear people and be a part of this deliberation. You see, in George's mind, Robert Gates has been sitting in a little display case somewhere deep in the bowels of his pappy's library. Or over there at Texas A&M. You know, where his daddy got him a job as the president of Texas A&M, pays good, great retirement, kind of the payoff. We'll put you here on the shelf. You did a lot of good blood work for us during Nicaragua, during the Iran-Contra thing. You did a lot of good blood work for us. My boy George was off whoring around, but you did a lot of good blood work for us. Robert, you got a lot of people disappeared. You're right up there with Augusto Pinochet. We really love you. We got a job coming up for you, boy, but in the meantime, just sit here in the glass case at Texas A&M and don't worry about it. And George W. Bush thinks that that's what this guy has been doing, sitting there, unaware of anything. George, let me tell you something. Your new Secretary of Defense, he has murdered more people and ordered the deaths of more people single-handedly than you, even you have. Do you understand that? No, of course you don't. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. On top of all this madness from George W. Bush, reports now from Reuters news agency that Bush is going to ask Congress for another $100 billion for his wars. My God. This man has to be removed from office. Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, you better by God do your jobs, or I'll tell you what, the American people are going to turn on you so fast. Back to Chuckle Nuts. The next question from people asking, again, we don't know who it was, but, you know, when you hear this question and answer, consider that given the behind-the-scenes reports now about how the Saudis have been cussing out Cheney and Bush for their continued massacre in Iraq, his answer about listening to people like Saudi Arabia drips as much irony as it does poor grammar. And there's a hefty sprinkling of empty Rovian rhetoric for good measure thrown into this. But keep in mind that the Saudis have quietly withdrawn their ambassador to the U.S. today because of what's going on, the massacre of Sunnis. The Saudis are Sunnis, as are most of the ruling cliques in the Arab world. Always have been, always will be, until they are all beheaded. Which is exactly what the Shia want to do. And keep in mind that our president didn't know there was a difference between Sunni and Shia when he lied us into this murderous war. Reporter says, as you give the new defense secretary time to get more in the mix, these questions are just insane. The reporters enable Bush to pretend like Robert Gates doesn't know what's going on. This is a former head of the CIA, for Christ's sake. This is a man who engineered the massacre of 200,000-300,000 people. And the reporter says, oh, as you give the new defense secretary time to get more in the mix. What is the strategy that you're looking to build, Mr. Bush? Is it a military strategy for success in Iraq? Is it a political one? And can I have another cookie?
So no, this is much more than a military operation. There's the foreign policy piece that's necessary. And we spend a lot of time in our government talking to people like Saudi Arabia or Egypt.
How is
it? Or Jordan.
How is Jordan?
Or Turkey.
How is Turkey?
And sending messages, clear messages.
To countries.
To countries like Syria and Iran.
Oh, thanks.
And I believe, for example, the Saudis are committed to a government that will bring peace and stability, and that's a unity government. It's in their interest they do so. And we're working hard with them.
Yeah.
To figure out a strategy to help the Maliki government succeed. I'm pleased when Iraqi leaders go to Saudi Arabia and talk to my friend, the king of Saudi Arabia, and talk about how they can work together to achieve a stability. It's in Saudi's interest. It's in Jordan's interest. It's in the Gulf Coast countries' interest that there be a stable Iran. Iran that is capable of rejecting Iranian influence. I mean, Iraq that is capable of rejecting Iranian influence. It's in our interests that we succeed in Iraq.
No, I'm not laughing. My God. These are not mispronounced names of Iraq and Iran. This is a man who probably doesn't think there's a difference. Iraq, Iran, Shia, Sunni, what? You say tomato, I say cocaine. What difference does any of it make? And we spent a lot of time in our government talking to people like Saudi Arabia and Egypt. I haven't spoken to Egypt in a long time. Or Egypt's president. What was his name? Ghanwar Babat or something. The only time we talk to Egypt is when we send somebody over there to be tortured and murdered. Oh, my God. I'm pleased when Iraqi leaders go to Saudi Arabia and talk to my friend, the king of Saudi Arabia. Well, not so much your friend anymore, George. As a matter of fact, the Saudis could bring you down. Forget Nancy Pelosi. Forget Harry Reid. You screw up anymore with the Sunnis, and the Saudis are going to bring you and the country you govern to its knees, George. And they can, with a keystroke of their computers. We're not going to trade our oil revenues anymore in dollars. We're going to switch to euros. Goodbye, George! Goodbye, America! He may have abandoned the phrase "stay the course," but he certainly hasn't abandoned any of his tired old talking points and scare tactics and stuff. Those are sticking around no matter what. And no matter how hard his policies and his party are thumped in the election, we're going to continue to learn about September 11th.
As we learned on September the 11th, the enemy has got the capacity to strike us. And there's no doubt in my mind a failure in Iraq would make it more likely the enemy would strike us. It would certainly make it more likely that moderate people around the Middle East would wonder about the United States' will. Moderate people, moderate governments in the Middle East would be making irrational decisions about their future.
Moderate?
It would be a disaster.
Yeah.
For governments that have got energy resources to be in the hands of these extremists. They would use energy to extract blackmail from the United States. And when you couple all that with a regime that is doesn't like the United States having a nuclear weapon,
what?
You can imagine a world of turmoil, and we're not going to let it happen.
It doesn't like the United States having a nuclear weapon. I guess what he means is when you couple all that with a regime that has a nuclear weapon that doesn't like the United States, I guess that's what he meant. This ignorant slob. There's no doubt in my mind, he says, that a failure in Iraq. George, that's so last year. You failed! Would make it, a failure in Iraq would make it more likely the enemy would strike us. Like they did on September 11th. Those dirty Iraqis! No, it was the Saudis, George. The Saudis. Saudis with box cutters. Or at least that's the official story. Come on, George. Didn't PNAC and Dick and Rummy clue you in on what the official story's supposed to be? He says it would certainly make it more likely that moderate people around the Middle East would wonder about the United States' will. I guess he means the will of the United States. Moderate people around the Middle East. Let's see. Moderate people. Moderate governments. Let's see. Who would that be? Syria. No. They're part of the axis of evil 2.0. Iran. No. They're axis of evil right up there, by Christ. They're up there with North Korea. Who else is there? Moderate government. Kuwait! No, that's not a moderate government, George. That's a kingdom. The only people can vote there have to have the last name Al-Sabah. That means royal family! That's not a moderate government. Okay, who else is there? Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is moderate? Okay, let's move on. Lebanon. No? All right. Israel. Israel's... No, okay. The Palestinian Authority. No, okay. Who else? Who else is that? Oman. Something like that. I can't ever pronounce it. It looks like Oman. Jordan. How about Jordan? That's a 3,000-year-old kingdom. Who are these moderate governments in the Middle East, George? Who? Somebody, please, for God's sake, who are these moderate governments?
Iraq. I didn't want to walk, but I could talk the talk. Why did the chicken cross the road? Well, I'll tell you part. The chicken crossed the road to join the Texas Air National Guard. Roll call.
It would be a disaster for governments that have got energy resources to be in the hands of these extremists. They would use energy to extract blackmail from the United States.
What? extract blackmail. That's what he said. It would be a disaster for governments that have got energy resources to be handed as extremists. But everybody in the world, I guess, except George. No, George and his murderous family know this. But the Saudis are the ones that support the most extreme form of Islamic bigotry that can be easily manipulated into acts of self-immolation and terror and death and destruction. It's the Saudis. And he says we must... I can't get my mind around what he's saying. But let me suggest something to you. A lot of people have made the assumption that the invasion of Iraq was a gift to Israel. Right? After all, the Israelis had to bomb an Iraqi nuclear reactor way back in the 80s. Iraq was run by Saddam Hussein. But let's pause right there. Did Saddam Hussein ever hold conferences about whether or not the Holocaust occurred? No. Saddam Hussein had his origins in the Communist Ba'ath Party. A lot of the founders of Israel were communists. Let's stop for just a second and consider that Israel did not want this invasion. Why would Israel want the chaos that George Bush has brought to Iraq that may spill over into Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Iran, Turkey? Why would Israel want that? Well, let me just say, from my point of view, Israel wouldn't. Now, maybe some of the more prominent members of PNAC who are Jewish, maybe they wanted it. But why would Israel? Just consider it. Why wouldn't Israel want these countries to be stable and quiet and leave them alone? Don't the Israelis have enough problems dealing with the Palestinians and dealing piss poorly? Yes, but let's reconsider just for a moment. Who benefits with an invasion of Iraq? Who benefited the first time? Saudi Arabia. What two families have been linked for decades? Bush and... No. No Jews. There's not a prominent family in Israel that has been linked with the Bush crime family, but the Saudis have. Do you understand? Can you entertain the idea now that the Saudis have said, if you pull out, we're going in? Do you think the Saudis, the Sunni, the Islamic royalty wants to see the riffraff of the Iraq and Iran Shia come boiling over their borders to take their oil? Who benefits? Does Israel benefit? To my way of thinking, no. Israel has... they've got problems. They have a foreign policy that can be murderous. But maybe, just maybe, this is not Israel's. Maybe this one is Saudi Arabia's. Think, damn it! Who benefits? Who benefits with the chaos in Iraq? Hadn't thought of that, had you? Last one from Chuckle Nuts, this time about how he's proud to listen to his good generals. Not these evil sons of bitches that go on television and say, it's over. The retired ones. Those are bad generals. And he's proud to listen to the brave volunteer souls who understand how to confront the stakes going forward during this remarkable history. Or something like that. That's his words. The new speak starts to sound the same after a while, like some perverted game of fill in the blank, mad libs for warmongers.
So the stakes are high in this fight. Nobody knows that better than the gentleman standing behind me. They clearly understand the stakes that are confront this nation, and I am proud to have listened to their points of view, and I'm proud to be working with them as they help lead the greatest military ever assembled.
Oh, God.
A military, by the way, in which we've got brave volunteers, people who understand the stakes of this fight, saying, I want to be in. I want to serve my country. It's a remarkable period in American history right now.
Oh, my God.
And as I deliberate the way forward, I keep in mind that we've got brave souls that need to know that we're in this fight with a strategy that will help them achieve the objectives. Stability. It's in Saudi's interest. It's in Jordan's interest. It's in the Gulf Coast countries' interest that there be a stable Iran. Iran that is capable of rejecting Iranian influence.
Yeah, we know what you mean. Okay, after that rant about who benefits, maybe not Israel, maybe Saudi Arabia, I get this from KL in Hawaii. Mike, I usually agree with you, but you're simply completely wrong. Israel lobbied for war. They provided reams of hyped-up BS on weapons of mass destruction. They virtually lived in the OSP, the Office of Special Projects, I guess. They were the only country in the region that wanted war and said so. They have been pushing for war with both Iran and Syria. Olmert just did as much here in front of Congress, to their cheers. Sorry, but as much as I respect you, you have this one entirely wrong. Well, I accept that email. I don't know that I have it entirely wrong. I don't. Nothing is as it appears to be in the Middle East, and Israel happens to be in the Middle East. Nothing. So, I mean, you kind of have to place your bets and take your chances. From Prairie 2, Mike, the Saudis have quietly withdrawn their ambassador to the U.S. today. They are steamed that Bush is even considering a troop drawdown and turning the Iraqi army over to a Shia government. The Iraq Sunni vice president came to see Bush. In the photo op, he looked like he was waiting to be executed. The Saudis are afraid the Sunni will be massacred and are threatening to crash the oil price to defund Iran and Shia militia. This sounds good for us and bad for the Bush crime family, but it's not that simple. What they're really threatening to do is crash the dollar. If they stop accepting dollars for oil and stop buying Bush's rubber T-bills, the dollar will be worthless. China will no longer have any use for dollars and won't buy our T-bills either. Rumor has it that they already have. China will also stop selling anything to us since we have no way to pay for it. Half our economy will stop overnight. The crash of 1929 will be a hiccup by comparison. Almost everything we use, from electronics to surgical masks, come from China or another Asian country. Countries that need oil and don't need us. Automobiles, trucks, airplanes, military hardware, the factories we still have are all dependent on China to operate. The so-called just-in-time method we adopted from the Japanese means that things would start to shut down within 3 days and cascade throughout the economy. There isn't time to adapt once it starts. Remember all the nightmare horrors they predicted for Y2K? Firestorms in the cities, famine, plagues, riots, and martial law? The damn fools have finally put us in this position. Try to find something that doesn't say made in China. If you do find something, the parts in it came from China, or the machines that made it did. It will take years on a so-called war footing to recover from this. If you have somebody in charge like FDR, with the Bush crime family in charge, everything outside their gated compounds will look like the lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans. Stuff your Christmas stockings with canned goods and ammunition. I don't know. I'm as ignorant about this stuff as most people outside that world of political scientists and operatives and arms dealers and oil traders and double agents and CIA and Mossad and all these different groups that play this game. This is what their lives are about. They play this game, this murderous game, this gimme, gimme, go away, that's mine, here, take this, I'll kill you, I'll kill your mother, I'll kill your entire family. And you and I guess most people that listen to this program, like me, are observers. We sit back and we know that everything that goes on in this weird world of all this intrigue and murder and mayhem and slaughter and beheadings and oil and apartheid and poisoned people, and that somehow it all affects us. But we don't have any input. We're like, I don't know what. I went to a slaughterhouse one night years ago down in South Georgia. A Swift and Company. I went with a meat packing plant. It was horrible, horrible. I went with a friend who had a job there, and I watched the cattle, the beef cattle in the holding pens overnight. And in the morning, they were all going to die. Walk up that ramp and be slugged on the head with an electric stun gun and their throats cut. And they knew, and there was nothing they could do. And I watched these cattle that night, these steers, and I thought, Jesus, God, let me out of here, because their eyes were big and their nostrils were flaring and huge globs of cow snot were flying around, and they were trying to mount each other and do sex because they knew. And there was nothing they could do about it. And sometimes I feel, don't you feel that way ever? Do you feel that way? Like all you're trying to do is live your life and just be happy in the short, relatively speaking, short amount of time we all have here. And this crap's going on. And some, you know, I get this email about, you know, the T-bills and the Chinese and the Saudis and it's all real. And I know it's real and it's swirling around out there. And I think, what, you know, why? Why is this going on? Why does a conflict between Israelis and Palestinians have an indirect but murderous effect on me? That's what so much of that's going on in the Middle East, that's where it has its genesis. No biblical reference intended there. But if that issue could be solved, which it never will, never, ever, ever, ever. The Shia and Sunni thing predates Israel-Palestine thing by, oh, I don't know what, two or three, by at least, when did the Shia break away? 900, 1100? So it's 1,000 years older than Israel-Palestine, isn't it? Or did Israelis go back 5,000 years? I don't know anymore! But all these things that swirl around. Yeah, I know about China. You can't buy anything. Jesus, God, nothing. Nothing that doesn't have made in China on it. I defy you. Find something. Oh, my God, find something that doesn't say made in China. So maybe I am wrong about the Saudis and the Israelis and the Iraq invasion. But remember the first time? Pappy Bush's war, the Iraqis were slant drilling. Wasn't that the rationale? They were slant drilling into Kuwait's oil? Like, oh, okay. You know, Kuwait doesn't even exist. It used to be part of Iraq. That is true. But Iraq never existed. It used to be something else. But based on that, we massed our troops in Saudi Arabia. Do you remember? Schwarzkopf, whose father and one other man overthrew the government of Iran in 1953. Same name, same faces, same people. Here we go again. Schwarzkopf. Ooh, the glories of battle. Off we go. Launching out of Saudi Arabia. And what did the Saudis do? Well, our people were... We didn't lose that many in the first war, did we? 200-300. And we butchered maybe, what, 300,000 Iraqi soldiers? Just absolutely butchered them. Highway of Death. What did the Saudis do? They all went to Egypt and Brunei and places like that and laid on the beach while the Americans fought for them. Thanks to Pappy Bush. So when I suggest 15 years later that the Israelis really didn't stand to gain all that much, what do they have now? They have what do you want to bet? Just think about it. That all those 250 nuclear bombs that Israel has, some of which are nestled on top of short-range or intermediate-range missiles, are targeted tonight and ready to go. Ready to go where? Damascus? To Iran? Where else? Kuwait City? Where else? So the Saudis recall their ambassador, and the Saudis are pissed off, and the Saudis let George W. Bush know, you allow this to happen, the Shia alliance, which is going to happen. There is no stopping it. Iran and Iraq, united at last. There you are. One Arab, the other Persian, but both Shia. There you go. The poor folk in Islam, wanting desperately to open up the neck veins of the ruling class, the Sunni, who have been torturing them since shortly after Muhammad died. And to these people and their religious traditions, that was, yesterday afternoon. Well, okay. The Israelis wanted the war. I don't know. I have no idea. I appreciate your email, KL. Aloha back at you. I don't know. I have no idea. I really don't. All I know is this, that I'm just trying to live my life and like you are. And maybe have a little fun and do a little righteous stuff, you know, with the neighbors or people that need, you know, a meal or whatever you do, and hang out with the kids and the grandkids. And I have to deal with this, just like you do.
He who made kittens put snakes in the grass. He's the lover of life, but a player of pawns. Just the king on his sunset, life waiting for dawn.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show.
We must not and will not allow the world's worst leaders to hold the United States and our friends and allies blackmail.
Jesus, God. Turn, pop that up a little bit. It's about 10 before the hour. Your phone call's coming up here momentarily, I swear to God. This came from Dave. He says, Mike, I usually focus my rants on human rights issues, but reading the New York Times this morning sent me over the edge. President Bush announced this morning that despite the advice of the Iraq Survey Group, despite meetings with the State Department, Defense Department, Iraqi government, countless other experts, the bulk of our 140,000 U.S. troops will remain in Iraq through 2008, and Bush will be requesting billions more for body and mechanical armor and weapons systems and thousands of more private security contractors for the Iraqi forces. No matter that every day, every report is showing we're in a no-win situation. We're losing on average 3 American soldiers every day. We can't leave, says Bush, no matter what the experts say. So what is it? Pride? Arrogance? Stupidity? Stubbornness? No. Fear. In a report in the Times this morning, the Saudis have threatened that they will swing military support to the Iraqi Sunni Muslims, the minority and the religious faction previously loyal to Saddam, if America leaves. In essence, they are threatening to help fund a civil war So the House of Saud has told George Bush, stop protecting our frontiers and oil fields, and we will fund a civil war. Despite what every pundit tries to tell you, the number one foreign supplier of oil to America comes from Saudi Arabia. 17.5%, in fact. Canada is number two. Venezuela, three. Mexico, four. Nigeria, five. This continuing slaughter of our soldiers and Marines has nothing to do with national security, nothing about democratization, nothing about a war on terrorism. It's about oil. But not free Iraqi oil. That's a trickle these days. It's about Saudi oil and the fact that American oil companies depend on it. And thus, the advisors that Bush is listening to are the oil sector. Enough is enough. America needs to stage a boycott of American gasoline suppliers who buy Saudi oil. If you have to fill up, buy anything but Saudi oil. And let the companies you buy from know that you are not going to buy their products as long as they buy Saudi oil. Shell, Chevron, Texaco, ExxonMobil, Marathon, Speedway. The ones that don't import Persian Gulf oil? BP Amoco, Citgo, Sunoco, Conoco, Sinclair. This is important, and we need to let the American people know that buying Saudi oil is killing our troops. And write those oil companies that do and don't buy Saudi oil. The links provided are to their investor relations. He sent me some links here. Forget customer service. Once you let their investor services know that you aren't spending money that fuels terrorism and kills American soldiers, they will reexamine their purchasing policies. I hate that, right? I'm an American. I like to just go into the gas station and fill up and spend $1.50 a gallon. What am I saying? $1.20 a gallon. And just go about my business and take my kid to the mall.
Where does my Kroger oil come from?
I have no idea.
Kroger gas that we get 10 cents off if we spend $100 in Kroger, and that's where I gas up, man. I get that dime.
We need to ask. I don't know. I'm afraid to ask. Oh, Christ, I'm afraid to ask. From Prairie 2, hey, Mike, strange as it sounds, before the first Gulf War, Iraq was one of Israel's biggest trading partners. One of the big Iraqi pipelines terminates in Israel. Saddam was getting quite cozy with them before the House of Saud's Western branch suckered him into a war. Let's see, House of Saud's Western... Oh, George Bush. I don't know. I will certainly, stand corrected. As KL pointed out from Hawaii, no, Malloy. You're wrong on this one. The Israelis really wanted this war. I don't understand what they would benefit from chaos, how they would benefit from utter chaos. How would the Israelis benefit from the overthrow of the Sunni governments that they seem able to get along with? I understand the Palestinian Authority. I believe that's Sunni. And, when you think about who is funding what the Israelis perceive to be terrorist organizations, Hezbollah, isn't that the Shia that are funding that in Iran? Hamas? Who's funding Hamas? It's nothing is it as it appears to be. It's desert mirages. This is the Middle East. This is where, whether we like it or not, civilization, not the emergence of humans that came from Africa, but civilization as we've come to believe in it. The Persians, the Tigris and Euphrates and math and zero and fire and, that's where it came from, right? Is that right or is that wrong? I know Mel Gibson is trying to rewrite everything with Apocalypto. Screw him. But really, wasn't it there or was it Africa? I don't know. Was it China? I don't know. And why do I have to worry my beautiful mind about this? Why can't I just go to the mall and get a nice cup of coffee sit on one of those benches and watch the gift frenzy, you know. Your phone calls when we come back. I don't know what that. What Kathy? What kind of a program have we had so far this evening? I have no idea. What have we done? We've taken 2 hours here. I don't know. Your phone calls when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. All right, let's do some phone calls. Y'all have been very patient tonight. Excuse me. Let's start with who should we start with? Let's start with Sarge in Mississippi, who's been holding on the longest. Hey, Sarge.
How are you doing, Mike? I hope you're doing much better than you were as a person.
Oh yeah, just you know, we've got a two and a half year old. You know what that means? She brings home pet viruses.
Yeah, they do that.
You know how puppies follow most kids home? Viruses follow Molly home.
Oh boy, you got a fun number of years in front of you then.
That's right.
Listen, I wanted to make you aware of a few things here. Senator Johnson is a cancer survivor, by the way.
Yeah, I knew that. A prostate cancer, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
I heard Ben Burch talking on the Bob Kincaid show had on Radio Network today, and he gave a report, and I had called up to let you know that, but then also another, since you've already announced it, it doesn't matter. But another thing I wanted to tell you about is there was a ruling today by a judge, and he just slapped FEMA upside the head. They have been ordered to pay these people the money that was cut off of them for their housing so abruptly, and he told them not to do it.
Yeah, where did I hear that? I think I read it. I read it in the New York Times that this judge is real pissed off.
Yeah, he really came down on me, tried to give me excuses, and he just let him know right off those excuses wasn't going to carry any water with him. And I don't know what's going to happen. Somehow or another, I got a feeling there's bound to be an appeal somewhere. But I thought that was a good thing for us down here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now on the negative side of that, I also found out that FEMA is trying to go back and charge people who thought they were going to get SBA loans and are living in FEMA trailers, and there are over 80,000 FEMA trailers being occupied on the Mississippi coast alone. That's not counting Louisiana. To this day, this mm-hmm. very day, that was released this morning, and they are going to try and make these people pay back money on these trailers and stuff because they didn't get the SBA loans or some kind of trash like that. I heard Jim Yancey talking about it, and I may have my facts a little jiggled there, but that's pretty much the gist of it. FEMA is trying to force people to pay money back for their screw up.
Mm-hmm.
But Jim Yancey also found out today that one grant money that he was awarded several months back, the paperwork got misplaced and they didn't have any paperwork for it.
Paperwork. The dog ate my homework.
And of course that really has hurt some, because that slowed a lot of his work down, because that was money that he had allotted for and programs that he had to put in place. He couldn't put in place because the money just wasn't there. But I will say this, the liberal radio networks like Nova M and Head On Radio Network have produced just in the last few days around $600 for the Jackson County Community Services Coalition, and Jim wanted me to express thank you to everybody for that.
Okay, well, that's I'm still planning on having him on, Sarge. It's just a matter of getting him on
and getting you well.
we have done over the weekend of Monday just absolutely nothing, but we will do it.
But I wanted to give us updates. But Jim said the one thing that's really given him the most encouragement in the last week is that not only is a little bit of money starting to trickle into his site, but he said what's really, really getting him the feeling like people are starting to care is a lot of people are sending him emails and saying, "What in the world is going on? Tell us. We want to know." And he said that really means a lot to them, because it gives them courage that somebody out there is thinking about this and that they really do care. Mm-hmm. And so people keep on doing that, because even if you don't do anything but send an email to them and say, "Hey, we appreciate your work and we're thinking about you," and keep.
What's the website again? Email address.
Okay, I'm just going to give you his website.
Website, contact.
www.jccsc.org.
JCCSC.org.
That's right.
Okay.
And again, I hate to keep harping on this issue, Mike, but it's something that I feel like we got to harp on, because these are our people here dying and going through hell at the hands of this administration. And if there's never been anything for a president to be impeached for, I think the way he's handled Katrina alone is worthy of impeachment. And that's not even getting into 9/11 and Iraq and all this other garbage that this sorry pile of slime has put on us. But I just want to thank everybody, and let's keep up the good fight, people.
All right. Thanks a lot, Sarge. I appreciate you checking in.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Take care. You take care. The Associated Press had the story that Sarge talked about. Judge demands answers on Katrina housing. Federal judge called the Bush administration's handling of Hurricane Katrina housing program a legal disaster. What a terrible, terrible example, perfect example of the incompetency of this corrupt administration. Back to your calls. Michelle is calling from San Antonio, Texas. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, Mike. Thanks so much for putting Sarge on and giving him a voice. He's dogged with his golf work, and I love him to pieces. You know, my site Deep Confusion is linked over to his new site, mm-hmm. unreportednews.net. It's just so good to hear. You know, it's bad news, but it's good news that there's something happening.
Well, it's amazing to know that you know, Sarge continues to hammer along with these other people about something that the rest of America, and by the rest of America, I mean the organizations that could be fixing this, that is the government, seem to have forgotten. You know, this horrendous event that occurred 16 months ago, 17 months ago,
in our country. And the Bush crime family, remember all the promises? Remember the lies this ugly snake made when he went down there for his photo op?
Which one?
Right. He made several, didn't he? It is criminal. Unbelievable.
It's criminal.
So, yeah.
So now, Ed, this is a little old now, but I asked my ICU intensivist doctor husband about Tim Johnson, and I was given the answer, what could present as a stroke but not be a stroke?
Mm-hmm.
And I got meningitis, an aneurysm, a seizure, a brain tumor, or hypoglycemia.
Hypoglycemia?
Yep.
Your husband is an ICU physician?
Yes.
Oh, my
goodness. Intensivist. He's an ICU specialist.
Oh, wow. He's dealing with people who are right skating on the edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was deployed over part of the summer, and he was at Landstuhl at the hospital there. I called you about it.
Hey, yeah, you did. Hey, hold on a second, Michelle. We got to do a break here, and I just want to come back and finish up properly mm-hmm. than just saying goodbye, goodbye. Hold on. We'll be back after this break.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour, we were talking with Michelle in San Antonio. Okay, Michelle, sorry for the interruption. They're called commercials, of course.
Sure, got to pay the bills.
That's right. So, one thing about the Tim Johnson story that really kind of got to me was how quickly, when this story was reported, how quickly these kind of ghoulish news anchors were talking about the political implications. Now, to me, it's ghoulish. Maybe not. Maybe that is the primary importance. The fact that if Tim Johnson, what's the euphemism, becomes incapacitated, which I guess means if he dies in this context, because I don't know how it works in the South Dakota Constitution when you appoint someone to take the place of an elected senator, but the ghoulishness of focusing in on how it would change the balance of power in the Senate. Did you get that sense?
I did. They're vultures. They're parasitic. And I was thinking that there was going to be a shift after the election, since we won so big, that they were going to start, I don't know, behaving like grown-ups.
The media.
Instead of... Yeah, the media, the mainstream media.
Especially television, yeah.
Especially television. I mean, Keith Olbermann is the only one that behaves with any integrity at all.
That's true.
The rest of them, they just walk around with brown faces.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful. I even the ones I used to have some respect for, like Paul Begala, it comes to mind very quickly. I just can't anymore. I just wonder, what universe are these people from?
Well, unfortunately, I think the Democratic pundit strategists, you know, Donna Brazile, mm-hmm. Paul, they are so beholden to the DCCC
right,
and the
right.
DLC
right.
that it makes me speechless again. I can't believe how low the integrity scale is in America, and just period, and especially in the mainstream media and politicians and corporations, and I can go on, but I won't. And listen, I think the sickness is a little bit good for you, because I think, in fact, you're building your immune system, and it gives you a... It gives you a clarity.
Yeah, but wait a second. Wait a second. I've been building my immune system for 60 years. I don't need to build it anymore. I need to give it a rest, especially when it's being assaulted by, you know, little kid viruses that, march into this house. These viruses, you know, Molly toys with them. She gets a runny nose for a few days. Then Kathy gets sick, and then I get bordered on pneumonia. I mean, it's just, it's hell getting old. You know what I'm saying?
You be careful. I'm getting older too. And I'll tell you what. Don't marry a doctor. You hold on to Kathy. A radio producer is a good thing.
The irony is she was ready to start pre-med after she finished her nursing degree and decided to come work with me instead. So, I mean, there's a lot of irony here. But anyway, hey, listen, Michelle, always good to hear from you. Thank you so much for checking in.
So you come see me at Deep Confusion now. Don't forget.
What's the website again?
It's deepconfusion.blogspot.com.
Deepconfusion.blogspot.com.
Mm-hmm. That's me.
All right. Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks.
All right. You take care. Harry is calling from New York. Harry, welcome to the program.
Hey, it takes forever to get on this show, but I got something to say tonight.
All right, go ahead.
I'm a Republican, yeah. And I'm going to finally admit that you're right. This war was a mistake. I was listening to Kucinich on CNN the other day, and you know what? I'm not a big Kucinich fan, obviously, but you know what? He was right when he ran. Last time he was against this thing. And I'm going to tell you that this war was a mistake. And you're right, Mike, and I apologize to you.
What changed your mind? And I'm not trying to be a smartass here, but what changed your mind at this late date? I mean, didn't you
You can't force a country to have a democracy. You can't come with a gun and say you're going to have a democracy or we're going to kill you.
Well, but let me ask you, Harry, with all due respect, you knew that from the beginning, didn't you? That's what Bush was going to do, that he sent, I'm sorry, in the beginning it was weapons of mass destruction, that's right.
Well, we all thought they had weapons, you know.
No,
Germany.
No, wait a minute, not all of us, maybe everybody on the right, but those of us on the left knew damn good and well.
I think we had people like the media was beating the drums for this war,
well,
you know.
Well, media schmedia, we had people like Scott Ritter, Marine, Inspector, who came back and said there's no there there. Hold on, Harry. I'll come back to you. Let me do a break here. I'll come back because this is interesting. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll come back in a second. By the way, we have three open lines here. Come on, 800-989-1480.
Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lies.
Truth, justice, and the American way. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It is 26 before the hour. Back to Harry in New York. All right, you've apparently changed your mind about the.
I'll tell you what changed my mind. I was watching CNN the other day, and they said they had a guy on the ground there, and he said, "Well, what the Iraqi people are saying is that they need a new strong man in Iraq." And the fact of the matter is, they had a strong man before, and we went through all this 3,000 young kids dead. All this money, all this hatred, and we're just going to give them a new strong man at the end of the day. I mean, what? You know, I'm a Republican. I voted for George Bush with pride, but man, I got to tell you something. I mean this. I'm not kidding you. This war, we were sold a bill of goods. If this is all this war was for, is just to switch from one Middle Eastern strong man to another. It's crazy.
Would you vote for George Bush again if he could run?
Well, that's difficult. I think that there are people pulling the strings in the background. So would I vote for him? No. I think we need a president that's independent and that's not listening to, I think Dick Cheney wanted this war. I think for financial reasons. I hate to say it. I've been suspecting this for a long time, but I saw CNN yesterday with Dennis Kucinich, and I saw the report that they were looking for a new strong man to run Iraq, and I suddenly said to myself, this, you know, I listen to Rush Limbaugh, but, man, I listen to you, and I listen to Sean Hannity, but their arguments are getting weaker and weaker every day for this war. And it's, you know, I think that the Republicans need to break ranks. Yesterday, Gordon Smith, broke ranks.
All right. Well, I, you know, what
Mike,
can I say?
Will say this, though. We're going to leave that country. And we leave that country is a big problem. And as it, they have the second largest supply of oil in the world, and someone else is going to move in. And that's something that you liberals never discuss.
Well, now, no. You know what we discuss? We discuss the idiocy of depending on Middle Eastern oil.
Mike.
I mean, that's where the discussion should be. No, hold on. I'm giving you lots of time here, Harry. The discussion should not be on how we carve up what remaining fossil fuels exist on this planet. The discussion should be on how we develop different technological sources of energy. If we can't do it, then it's time to fold up, go back to the caves, and wait for everybody to
start
to do it.
Here's the problem. Listen, it's years away.
I don't
give
a damn how far away. How far away do you think the end of oil is?
Maybe 200 years.
Not even. It'll happen in your grandchildren's lives.
Mike, I'll tell you, I'm turning my back on my party, but I don't think for a minute you liberals got the answer either.
You get on your computer and Google the words peak oil and then give me a call back.
Thanks,
I got to go,
Michael.
Harry. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Peak oil, P-E-A-K, oil. Check it out. You decide. Make your own decision. To continue to deal in a commodity that runs our economy that is found for the most part in the Middle East, in an area where, thanks to the policies of six presidents, they hate us. And the only reason they continue to do business with us is because of money. And once they, the oil-producing Middle Eastern countries, realize that American money is not good anymore, the deal's over. And to continue to follow that line of insanity in this country guarantees that we're heading for a brick wall at 90 miles an hour. Alternative sources of energy. But you see, the oil companies own America. The oil companies own the Republican Party. The oil companies own probably half or three quarters of the Democratic Party.
And just for everyone's, you know, general edification, I'm sure most people who listen to the show know that it would not take decades to develop this if the government and the corporations got behind it. It's the government and the corporations that are keeping us dependent on oil.
Right. And as far as...
Europe doesn't have these issues like we do here.
As far as Harry's attitude about George W. Bush, Harry, you need to wake up and smell the coffee. Don't you understand that someone who will lie us into a war... I mean, that's the top of the mountain. That's the top of Mount Everest of lies. He will lie and has about everything. As far as you're listening to Limbaugh and Hannity, carry on, my man, but keep in mind that Limbaugh is a drug-addicted psychopath and that Hannity does nothing but suck around Rush Limbaugh's leavings, waiting for Rush to die or retire so he, Hannity, can be king of the dung heap. If you listen to these people, Harry, you're going to wind up like you've wound up. It took you almost 4 years to realize that we were lied into a war. Hello? Harry, anybody home? Anybody in there? And the other thing, Harry, is again, with all due respect, because I didn't climb down your throat, I didn't kick your ass, I just let you talk because it was fascinating. But don't use my program as a confessional booth. You know, I don't know what your religion is. I'm sure you got one. If you're a Republican, I know you're probably an ardent something where it concerns religion. Go see your spiritual advisor. If you're Catholic, go talk to your priest. If you're Jewish, talk to your rabbi. You know, but don't confess on this program. I frankly don't give a damn about your revelation 4 years later. Guys like you, Harry, are responsible for us being in the mess we're in. Don't put it on Bush. Take it on your own back and multiply it by about 15, 20, 30 million of you psychopaths who voted this bastard in, and then sat back on your haunches when the Supreme Court stole the election away from Al Gore. Don't come to my program, Harry, with your road to Damascus conversion. I'm not the least bit interested. I'll let you talk, but I couldn't care less. You're responsible for this, pal. You and the rest of you Republicans who allowed this to happen. Don't confess to me. I'm not interested. If I were a priest and you confessed to me, I'd say, look, sorry, confession in this case doesn't work for you. You're going straight to hell. There are no Our Fathers, no novenas, no Hail Marys, nothing you can do. You're doomed. No, I don't give absolution. I'm not a priest, so don't come here and confess. Go to your local bar and talk to your bartender. You get better results. Trust me. I'm not interested in your confession, and people who listen to this program are interested. What, you think we're sitting back here going, oh, yay, 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 a Republican came out of the ether? No, sorry, Harry, that's not the way it works. You help take this country into the trash heap that we're in right now. So go away. I don't want you to know. Go away. Jack is calling for Richmond, California. Welcome to the program, Jack. Yo, Jack.
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. Hey, Jack.
Okay. Yeah, good evening. I'm calling to see what you think about Patrick Leahy's statement about subpoenaing the torture memos, the torture memorandum, and whether you think this might lead to impeachment.
Well, now, what exactly are you talking about? I missed this story. What are you talking about?
Front page of RossStory.com today, right up there in the banner, he had told the reporters that he would, if necessary, use subpoena powers to get the torture memorandum. I mm-hmm. believe it's called the Bybee Memorandum, that pretty much shows all as far as when they widen.
He wants the memos from the executive branch?
From the Alberto Gonzalez.
Okay, that's the executive branch. Leahy will never get them. Never. And I'll tell you why. As soon as he requests them or subpoenas them, that's the first step in what could drag out for years. The Bush crime family will resist based on separation of powers. It'll go to a federal court. The federal court will rule one way or the other. If the court rules against Leahy, that's the end of it. Unless I don't know if Leahy can appeal. I don't think so. If Leahy is the plaintiff, maybe he can appeal. It'll go to a federal appeals court. They will uphold. Remember, excuse me, that the federal court system is stacked, is saturated with right-wing vermin. And they are going to rule, with very few exceptions, and they are going to rule in favor of the Bush crime family. When it finally gets to the Supreme Court, does George W. Bush have a right to withhold these so-called memos? The Supreme Court, as presently constituted, will rule yes, it does, under the Separation of Powers Act, that the executive branch has certain prerogatives that cannot be infringed upon by the legislative branch, and it's over. So, knowing that Leahy is a relatively smart man, I don't know why he's doing this, unless it's just, grandstanding. I don't know. I hate to say that, Jack, and I wish it weren't true, but that's just the way it's going to go. They're not going to get the stuff they want. They're not going to get it.
He does have a personal reason, though, being one of the anthrax.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that
victim.
I'm sure that's the case. Jack, I got to go. Thanks. I appreciate you checking, and we'll talk again. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show.
I'm coming now. I'm coming to reward them.
Iraqi regime is a threat of unique urgency. It has developed weapons of mass death.
Yeah, I suffered through mass death when I was in advanced algebra. So I know what you're talking about, George. 10 before the hour, thanks to the crew who makes this program possible every night. Either thank them or condemn them, I don't know. Ian Huff engineered the program in Phoenix, also handled your phone calls. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, and the mods, militant mods at MikeMolloy.com are to be commended. Ben Birch of WhiteRoseSociety.org archives the program. Podcasts and downloads are available. You know that. The executive producer of this program is Catherine Bay. An email here from Scone. Regarding peak oil, he says, I didn't think your boy, Greg Palast, believed in peak oil. Now you do? It's kind of an attitude in that short email that it pisses me off just a little bit. First of all, Greg Palast is not my boy. I don't know what he believes about peak oil. And as far as my belief is concerned, I would just turn it around and ask my emailer, do you believe that oil is infinite? That it's just never going to stop? My feelings about the burning of fossil fuels have certainly changed in my lifetime. I never paid any attention to it when I was a kid or a teenager or in my 20s. Probably not even in my 30s. How can anyone not pay attention to a substance that when converted from its inert stage into energy, it's destroying the planet? Hello? If it's coal, the acid rain is killing everything it touches. If it's oil, the byproducts of the burning of the oil are raising the temperature of the planet. So the argument is a false argument. I don't give a tinker's damn about whether or not there's an infinite supply of oil. What I do care about is the ability of my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, if they ever come along, to breathe. We are using the same substances for energy release that we have been using since the 1840s, since the Industrial Revolution. Wouldn't you think that with all the evidence about the deleterious effects of this crap on the environment, that we would have put our wonderful human minds together and come up with an alternative? So do I. So, as far as what my boy, Greg Palast, believes in, I have no idea. What I believe in is that fossil fuels are killing us, the use of them. So, hope that answers you. Ann is calling from Oakland, California. Hey, Ann.
Hi, Mike. This is great. I just wanted to offer a ray of hope to everyone out there that we Americans will wake up en masse and get out on the street and change things around with our politicians. I'm a Navy veteran. It's disgusting to see how the military is being used right now. I am a very proud American, but we really need to change things around right now.
Oh, yeah.
I've checked changed it around myself, so I know it can happen. It doesn't take a lot. We just have to get our heads out of the sand, and it'll happen. But I really, in the news the last couple of days with Bernanke going over to China and the American dollar, the word is out there now.
The American trade representative?
Yeah, Bernanke, the guy who took over for Greenspan.
Bernanke, the new Fed chairman.
Yes, he was in China or is in China right now with someone.
Well, isn't it true there's a whole delegation of top-level cabinet-level officers, six or seven cabinet members of the Bush crime family are going over there this week or soon?
I think they're there now.
Oh, they are there now.
I believe so. And, you know, the word that I'm understanding is that they're going to come back and it's not going to have helped us, the hardworking American people, any.
Right.
And it just, the United States of America is starting to crash. And I guess the ray of hope I'd like to offer is that enough of us will wake up. I know that if I did it, it can happen.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by you woke up. You sound like a very rational person. You're retired Navy or out of the Navy.
I resigned my commission in protest 2 years ago after an 11-year affiliation with the Navy Nurse Corps.
Mm.
And at the age of 18, I'm almost 50 now, and I was a registered Republican for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was not this style of Republican.
Well, no. A lot of people. My brother-in-law was a naval officer, two tours in Nam, and then shore duty in Italy for 4 years. And he was a lieutenant and Republican, but a Republican of the old style, and became an absolute Bush hater because of Bush's policies,
mm-hmm.
Foreign, domestic, and regarding the misuse and bastardization of the military.
It is. It's beyond criminal what's going on right now.
And I hate to interrupt, but you hear that music? We're about out of time.
Oh,
I hope.
Thanks for all you do, Mike. Thank you for all you and Kathy do to bring your words out on the airwaves.
Well, you're more than welcome, and we'd like to hear from you again, too, okay?
Bye.
All right. Take care, Ann. Okay. Thanks for your participation tonight, however you did that. We appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.